Tonight on KABC, it's Open Mind. I am delighted you're here, and I'm hoping you're enjoying KABC's new weekend of all kinds of different and wonderful things. Wasn't that an invigorating show where we just got going? Kind of gets your teeth into it a little bit. But for the next 3 hours, we're going to get you into something else, which requires you to open it up, and certainly to have an open mind. It's a new world. And my guest tonight is an encore presentation for you. And I knew right after we did it the first time, we were going to have to do it the second and the third and the fourth time because we just touched it, Mr. Nick Misserino. Nick, welcome to Open Mind.
Thank you very much.
And the crystal skulls, are they still running around?
Oh, yeah. We're running into more and more skulls.
Nick Misserino fascinated us, what is it, about 3 months ago, I think.
June.
Something like that in June. With the incredible story of the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. Crystals in general. So our subject is that and things metaphysical and holistic in general. So we're not going to really confine our conversation tonight to just the crystal skull or just the crystals. We want to look at a broad area of thought and endeavor on the part of so many of us that is a little bit different. But it's not different. It's very ancient.
They're all tied together.
They're all tied together.
Absolutely.
And we have one of the great masters to talk with you. So you're invited to join us tonight, if you will, to talk to Nick Misserino. Let me give you some numbers so that you can get in here. Because I know that you're better questioners than I am. Much better inquisitors than I am. And we have some unanswered questions about the crystal skull.
Oh, what are they?
One, when can we see it? When can we look at it? When can we experience what it does for people?
Well, one, you can go to Kitchener Canander and see
it. That doesn't answer the question.
See it any time you want. If you want to see it physically. Otherwise, it was last in Colorado a few weeks ago and at one of the conventions there. We've had it in San Francisco. It's been Miami and Dallas. And it will not be on the West Coast again until next year, as far as I know. So I can't give you an exact time. Annie Mitchell Hedges and I haven't talked for about a week and a half. I've been out going from city to city and place to place, so I haven't had much time to do it. But we have word up from Belize that there's a skull on the move there. We have word from Honduras that there's a skull on the move there. And we have word that we finally located our rose quartz crystal. It's moving between Guatemala and Honduras. We have Sam down. Well, we have some people down there looking for him. And we've sent out some letters to try and make contact with these people. I hate to say it, but they're in the business of smuggling artifacts and things like that.
On this show, you realize, Nick, you can say anything.
Oh, you can? Oh, yeah. Well, we have a few smugglers who do things oddly enough with crystal skulls, and we're trying to get them. Make contact with them so we can go and see what they've got. We also have a skull in San Jose, which is a large amethyst skull, which is...
In San Jose, California?
Yes, for sale.
Is this one of the skulls that we're... You know, I'm not being fair here to the audience that may have just joined us. We're talking about the crystal skulls. We know what we're talking about. Well, I don't, but you do.
Yes, we're talking about antiquity.
Could you spend a few moments to describe what this crystal skull is, why it's so important, and what it does?
Well, there are several skulls known to man, and basically why they're so important is nobody knows where they came from. No one knows how they were made. And they have a way of, if you will, showing you movies and pictures. If you look at them and you scry, scrying is a method of looking with the eyes and seeing what's inside of a stone or a mirror. You can watch movies move about, and they've shown the way the Earth has changed many times and how people have moved through, if you will, the Earth, and where people have come from, whether they've come from other dimensions, or whether, which means out of space, or whether they come from inside the Earth or within water. And it's just flabbergasting because there are crystal skulls. For instance, 300 came in a week ago from Brazil. That just were carved, and they're small skulls. And people are confusing them with what we're talking about. We're talking about antiquity. We're talking about something that's thousands upon thousands of years old that cannot be duplicated because of the way the optics run in the skull.
Well, Hewlett-Packard had the Mitchell Hedges skull.
Absolutely, yes.
And one of the things they found out that there was not a tool mark one on this cortex.
Absolutely. Not only them, but yes, they did.
And actually, it would be, if you were to give our finest artisans an unlimited budget, they could not duplicate the crystal.
So Hewlett-Packard estimated they want $1 million, $1.5 million, 24 hours a day for a year. And then they would make no guarantee they can come close to duplicating the skull or its optic powers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that several other laboratories have said the same thing. So I think that we're running into a, excuse the expression, a dead end. We've got to find the real skulls and try and bring them in and work with them. And that's what we're trying to do. And so far, something has happened. Since June, everybody involved with skulls has gone silent. We've had no word out of British Honduras, Belize, which is now Belize, not British Honduras. We've had no word out of Honduras. We've had no word out of Guatemala. We've sent two people and a letter into Mexico. We've had no word from them. These are the places where the skulls are. The one in Peru that we were looking for last year, I mentioned to you, has virtually disappeared. We don't know what's going on. Where we were able to make contact with a lot of people, even in the boondocks, in the jungles, we have been unable to get any response. Something is happening. We're not sure what's happening yet. And if it means going down, I guess I'll eventually have to go down and find out what's going on.
But they do have skulls, in London?
Yes, you have one skull called the British skull. It's an Aztec skull. It's not Aztec, but that's what they call it. And it comes from the Yucatan Peninsula. And at the British Museum of Man, you have one at the Paris Museum of Man, at the Trocadero Museum, which is called the Aztec skull. It's not an Aztec skull, but they don't know anything about it, so they call them Aztecs. You have a skull on Texicali, which is we refer to as the Mayan skull, which actually came out of Guatemala. And we give all these things names. We don't know, mainly because the tomb they're taking from is that particular tomb. We have no idea how they got in those tombs or how they were used. You have the Mitchell Hedges skull from Lumbaton, British Honduras.
That's the most accessible.
This is not only the most accessible, it's the most beautiful, it's the most perfect, it's the most fantastic energy tool that I've run into, or scrying tool, in my whole life. I've never, and I've seen the Chinese balls and everything else. This is out of the world to me. It's just fabulous. And they're priceless. You know,
there's no way to put a price.
You can't put a price on them, and unfortunately, they come in through bandits who have been misusing them for collaterals and stuff, and trying to track them down costs money. Like this last skull, they wanted they started out with $1,000 a week. We got them down to $500 a week to work with it, and then everything knocked off. Like I said, when June came, everything just shut down. We couldn't get near any of the skulls.
You know, one of the things, Nick, that is so amazing to me, here is an artifact.
Right.
It's obviously, we don't know how old it is. You know, some of the carbon dating on them says 250 million years old.
Some of the carbon dating on the things found around them.
Carbon date the skull.
Right.
It is something that our greatest scientific laboratories say that they cannot reproduce.
Right.
Then the properties of the skull, if a person peers into the skull, looks at it, he starts seeing an unending panorama of visions
right.
that happen to him that go back, it seems, to the antiquity of time and comes up to things that were in the viewer's own mind.
Right.
Their childhood, their father, their mother, right. things that they never even thought about. So here is an incredibly important, fantastic thing. And we have great scientific organizations such as NASA, such as Caltech, such as what all of these great citadels of learning who will not deal with this thing.
Well, most people in the scientific world stay out of the metaphysical for some reason.
What's metaphysical about looking at a crystal skull that is now playing history for you and playing your own history? This isn't metaphysical. This is physics.
I agree.
This is now. This
I agree.
Is here. This is real.
But that's the answers we get.
You know, I would like, I don't know who's listening to this program, but I would like to hear one of the great scientists from Caltech or from USC or from, you know, the, or from TRW or from North American Rockwell. And we have so many brilliant people that are in these sciences that are in the Southern California area to tell me why you won't deal with this. Because this thing is obviously a collector of information that is unlike anything that we have ever seen
Absolutely.
In our life. And it also plays it back.
Absolutely.
And it gets its information from all kinds of levels, including evidently the, here we go, being a little bit metaphysical with the astral level and some of the other things, which, as a scientist, I would suspect that you want to know as much about it as you can. One of the other interesting attributes of it, I think, is you can take photographs of the pictures that you see in the skull, and the photographs themselves change.
Many scientific people have done that, too, and they still don't understand it.
They put it on the shelf and forget it.
May I make an example, for instance? We were doing a house in not too far from here, Paso Robles. We had three scientists.
When you say doing a house?
A honing.
A haunted house, okay.
And we're working the case, and these scientists are sitting there, and they're very deeply involved in physics and math and, you know, things that I don't understand. I'm not that trained, and I'm not a scientific mind, but the refrigerator rose off the floor slightly and started to move.
It just lifted up off the floor?
Yeah, it just elevated or levitated, and one looked at the other and said, do you see that? And I said, well, what do you think it is? He says, well, we see it, but we know it's not happening because it's impossible for a refrigerator to lift off the floor and move. So the refrigerator moved about 8 feet across the floor and laid itself down again on the floor. And he says to me, he says, if you can make it do it again and again, he says, we'll believe it's happening.
Meanwhile, he was looking at his book.
Yeah.
And, of course, it wasn't in the book.
It wasn't there. And
if it's not in a book, it doesn't exist.
And as far as he was concerned, the drawer opened and a bunch of utensils came out of the drawer through the air and fell on the floor. And his only comment was, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
See, and, of course, they hire people to go around to convince everybody that these things are not really happening. And they would like us to just forget about the skull. But I think the skull's too important to forget. I think it's the type of a computer that's so unknown to us and has gathered so much knowledge and information that if we can get the knowledge and information out, it might be very beneficial to us and perhaps to all of mankind. I'm looking forward to doing a lot more work and locating a few more skulls and getting a lot more information.
Well, the skulls all seem to come from Central America.
Yes.
For some reason we don't understand. Some of them are giving us very graphic pictorials of a very violent time.
Yes.
The Mitchell Hedges skull, not so much. It
no,
must have lived in a more loving society, as it were.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess they're just going to imprint or collect the information that was around them. You know, I thought about this a lot, Nick. I'm thinking, let's say that this skull was found by some primitives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing these marvelous things. And it might be looked upon as some sort of a god.
Absolutely.
And so, therefore, in many primitive cultures, to worship a god, you had animal sacrifices, you had human sacrifices. In fact, we have human sacrifices going on in Los Angeles right now.
Yes.
All of the time. And generally, they are little babies that are being burned by some of our fine citizens. That's another story. We'll get into that later. Not on this show.
All right.
And those things are collected in those skulls, and we see them. Wild, wild stuff. And I see that I'm getting so involved in what you're saying that I've got to take a break here. We're talking to Nick Nicerino. We're talking about the crystal skulls. We're talking about...
Anything in metaphysical.
Anything metaphysical. We're talking about some nuts and bolts about what happens in this relationship between physical and spiritual life, because there is a very strong thread.
Yes.
And whether you like it or not,
absolutely,
it is a part of the world that we live in. Why don't you join us? We'll be here. 4 to 3? 4-3. Bottom of the ninth. Bottom of the 10th. 11th. Gene Autry just may have his day. I sure hope so.
God bless.
Poor Astros. Bottom of the ninth, right? Two out. Done in by the Mets. But those Mets have had a good year, haven't they? Let's get back to it with Nick, and let's also talk to Betty, who's right here. Hello, Betty.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, couldn't be better.
That's good.
Angels won, so that's good.
Hey, I was wondering if maybe they had some help from the other side.
Well, I'm hoping so.
Oh, that's nasty.
Being that the Dodgers are, you know, gathering their strength for next year.
Yeah.
We got to go Angels, right, Betty?
Absolutely.
All right.
I was wondering if, do you have to be a specially gifted person, in other words, a psychic, and able to see stuff out of this thing? Or,
Cameras can see it, honey, anybody can see it.
But, I've always been a believer in this stuff, but I have never had any psychic experiences.
Never gone out of body, so don't feel bad.
Okay, How long do you have to look at it? I mean, like, do you have to concentrate, or do you just see it, or what? What happens?
Well, I think that you don't have to necessarily look at the skull. You can look at a slide and see the same thing, or a photo. And we take between 1 and 3 minutes on each slide when we're doing a research project with photos, and we have each people write what they see. And most people are capable, after about 5 or 6 slides, of seeing something. As for the crystal skull itself, it's a matter basically of staring into the skull in one particular area. So you may have 10 or 20 people looking in, each one seeing something different. But normally about 10 to 15 minutes is about maximum time before people start to notice something precise or specific in it. Other people notice immediately, and it has nothing to do with being psychic.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with whether you can concentrate, very relaxed. You relax. That's the most important thing, and look into the skull. And where you're looking, you may not see what someone else is seeing, and they may probably not see what you are seeing. But I would say that I know of nobody who does crying that can't do it within a couple of hours at the most.
What particular area is the most prolific, shall we say?
In what regard?
I mean, in seeing... do you stare at the forehead? Do you stare at the teeth? Do you stare at the nose?
You stare at whatever part is left open for you to stare at. Some people are in the back, some people are on top, some people are on the side.
What if you were there by yourself?
You were there by yourself? Well, then you would stare into the temples. That's the smartest way of doing
it. Now, I saw a picture quite a while ago in a National Geographic of a crystal skull. I don't know where it
came
from.
That's not it.
That wasn't it?
No.
Okay.
That is one of the skulls in the museums.
Oh, okay. So that has nothing to do with the...
With the Mitchell Hedges or with the Mayan one or the ones we're talking about.
Is that what we would call a real crystal skull?
Yes, we would call a real crystal skull. The only thing is that nobody can get near it or the...
Which one is that, the one in London or Britain?
In both. You cannot get near... I just put over $300 to have slides made of both skulls so that we can see if there are any changes or not. And they send us the same slides they sent us 4 years ago.
Is there any conversation with the authorities at those museums that have the other skulls, the Aztec skulls?
Yes, we have
as
now.
As to why they won't let people investigate?
They're too valuable, too fragile, they can't replace it. They don't know what it is, but they can't replace it.
So they just keep it in the vault?
So it's kept protected. No, the periscope was taken down about 9 weeks ago and put into the vaults. Otherwise, it was out till then. The British skull is now back on public display in a case, and you can go in and see it. Now, for $21, I believe it's 21 an hour now, 21 pounds an hour or something like that. I forget what it is, whether it's American or English dollars. You can go in and work for 1 hour. You allow 1 hour of photography through the case.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take the case out.
But it's also playing the images, too.
Oh, yes. It was taken down 3 times because it scared the heck out of people.
Well, it's okay if you say hell.
Oh, all right. Well, it scared...
Because we don't believe in that here anyway.
Frightened some people. And it was therefore removed by public demand and has been also replaced by public demand because there's two groups. One group that wants to get it lost and another group that wants it out in the open where the public can see it.
Well, there are those people that say, if we don't understand it, let's find out about it. And the others that say, if we don't understand it, kill it.
How does it differ from a crystal ball?
Oh, quite a bit of difference. A crystal ball is simply a piece of crystal that's been made into a round shape, you know, a sphere. And
I have one of those at the house. It doesn't do anything. It's pretty.
No, it doesn't. You can tap a crystal ball and make it do things, but that's something else. The skull is, number one, carved like a human skull. Now, the Mayan skull is just a complete carving, one solid piece, as is the British, the Aztec, the Southern France one, and several of the other skulls. The Mitchell Hedges skull has movable jaw, moves up and down, and can be taken off and put back on. That's the differences. One is carved completely like a natural skull. They're believed to be women's skulls. And each part of them has a different ray of light that is emitted in a different direction or can be directed in different directions. They estimate, I think, something like 132 ways that optics light can pass through and come out through the eye and the front of the face. And that's something you cannot do with a crystal ball. It changes colors. It has color codes, and it runs by itself. You can sit there and keep watching it, and, you know, let's say it's a dark room, all of a sudden you see red light, green light, blue light, and then it goes to a higher level of yellow, orange, and sometimes violet to indigo, and it just comes out. There's nothing there. It just starts emitting these lights. Other times it virtually disappears and sits there like a series of dots, which we photograph. We have photographs of all of this in slides. Other times it seems to multiply and become two skulls or three skulls, or elongate and become very long. The eyes begin to disappear many times, and caverns appear. And there's one, like a dimension after dimension after dimension. And as you look through the eyes, for instance, the skull gets longer and longer and longer. There are so many differences. We could talk for an hour at what all the differences are. I don't know if that's helping you, Betty.
We've got 3 hours, so it's...
Oh. When will there be another one, or I don't know, when was the last one, or when will there be one in the Los Angeles area?
Whenever somebody in Los Angeles is willing to pay the bills to bring one in and get Annie Mitchell Hedges down here with that one. That's the one that you should see.
It's one of the things I want to do if we can put on a show we have in mind, you know.
Yeah, that's where I think it's at. And she's trying to raise money for a foundation to put the skull on public display in England permanently, in a permanent display place. And we're trying to locate some other skulls so that we can get more information. The skull's available. Anybody who wants to go to Canada and make an appointment and go over see it.
And there's no problem.
And where is it in Canada?
Kitchener, Ontario. It's 60 miles west of Toronto. And it's between Waterloo and, well, it's Kitchener and then Waterloo, which is the next big town up. And you should have no trouble. Just dial it on the telephone. She'll pour you tea and coffee and...
Let you see.
Biscuits and treat you like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. She's quite a lady.
And her name is again?
Miss Annie Mitchell Hedges. You can find her name in Richard Garvin's book, The Crystal Skull, or in The Skull Speaks, which is a book that just recently came out last year that they published from some medium. And if you were in a library, they're in Who's Who.
Okay.
They've been around, so you shouldn't have any problem.
Well, it is the most incredible artifact on the planet that I've ever heard about, and anyone who's heard about it also has to agree. I still would like to talk to some of the great scientists here in Southern California who may be with us as to why they ignore that. Thank you, Betty, for giving
us a call. Okay, thanks a lot.
Appreciate your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let me give the numbers. We have some lines open if you want to talk about the crystal skull or you. Nick Nazareno is with me. Nick, you're on tour in Southern California right now. Where are you going? Where can we find you? Where can we see the skulls? Where can you do all this sort of stuff? Bring us up to date.
I think you ought to ask Ho that. He's carrying the schedule.
All right, Ho. You got it?
I got it here. Yeah, we have 2 weeks of tour.
Hit your button over there.
My button?
There you go.
Hello. Hello, hi. L.A. There we go. Okay, we've got Nick on tour for 2 weeks, and it's going to be impossible to go through the whole thing here, or it would be a 3-hour show there. So So instead, let
you
me tell them...
You can't do that. So just
can't
give,
do
us,
that.
Give us a...
Let me tell them what we're doing all the right. next couple of days, and I'll give them a number they can call for the rest of the schedule.
All right.
Tomorrow morning, Nick will be doing a crystal consciousness workshop. This will be Nick talking about crystals and how to use them. It goes from 10 to 6, and it's at the Sportsman's Lodge Hotel. And we will have crystals all out day for sale. That's free to the public. The public can come in for free and look at all those crystals. And Nick will be doing the workshop in the same hotel.
That's the charge.
That's the charge. The workshop is $50, but you folks can come in and look all you want for free. Then on Monday, Nick has Monday off. I'll be doing a free lecture on crystals at 7:30 at the Sportsman's Lodge, if any of your listeners are interested. Tuesday, Wednesday, he's doing psychic influences and astral senses, again at the Sportsman's Lodge. And then Thursday, we go to Orange for UFOs, a crystal skull workshop, and a ghost-busting workshop. We have tried to make sure that...
Are you a ghostbuster?
No. I am a researcher, and I hate the word ghostbuster.
But he let me use it in the publicity, because people have been calling up. Nick has some marvelous slides of spirits and ghosts and poltergeists and energies. To be very honest, Bill, they're things that, with all the years I've looked at them, I'm very surprised at the skull, at these pictures that he's got. He's got some pictures in particular of poltergeists that are very startling. And there's the Crystal Skull Workshop. People who are interested will want to know that that workshop, anyone can come in and see these slides. And what happens is that you can see those changes on the slides.
Uh-huh.
Now, again, rather than go through this whole lineup, because he'll be in Orange and L.A. with the Crystal Skull Workshop and everything, much easier to give out a number. And that number is 818-761-0945.
Okay, so you have a chance now to meet Nick, talk to Nick, see the skulls, or see the photographs of the skulls. You don't have a skull down here with you at this time. We do have a scientist on the line.
Oh, good. Maybe I can learn.
And he has, as I'm looking at the computer here, it says a scientist with an explanation. His name is Boris. Boris, explain all of this to us.
Well, first of all, most of the time we don't have any more explanation than you do, so there's no use looking to us. However, let me just offer the only thing that I've come across that is similar to this.
Are you familiar with the crystal skulls and its properties, Boris?
Well, I've been listening to you all along, and let me just describe to you the only other thing that I've found that is similar to this.
Please do.
This is from a contactee. This is from a spaceman who is walking among us, allegedly, of course, like all these stories. And he, while talking to the Earthman, pulled out of his pocket, I'm reading this from the account, produced a whitish-colored stone about 2.5 inches in length, somewhat oval in shape. It looked like a piece of quartz to me. So I asked, "What's that?" He said, "It's a communication device that I use to keep in contact with my people." I tell you, I was getting paranoid listening to the crazy kind of talk. I asked him how it worked, and he said, "It draws power from the life source of your body and directs it in a beam back to my planet." I asked what the hell he meant by a life source, and he said the disc absorbs energy emitted from your body and then transmits this energy in a beam similar to radio waves. Okay, now my suggestion, not a theory, is that this device has been put there by somebody who is very advanced. And as you have suggested on the program, the people in the UFOs have been here maybe 50,000 years, maybe 20,000 years. Who knows how long they've been here. Now, it could be that this device is simply an agency. Now, the most striking thing about it, as you have described it to me, is the enormous amount of intelligence associated with it. In other words, it has so much mental ability that it suggests that it is in contact with or surrounded by entities of some sort or in connection with them. And if each person who looks into it sees a different thing, then it is interacting in some way with the energies of that person. Now, there's just one other story that brings this to... that is brought to mind by this sort of thing. You're saying that they They find the skulls in Central America. There is a story by Dick Sutton, who's a reincarnation specialist, that there was...
He's been on the show many times, yes.
Yes. And he was a member of a sort of group, a soul group, which had agreed every 700 years to meet and write books to convey the information that needed to be kept alive on this planet. And in visiting in places in Central America, he would have members of this group, when incarnate, would have traumatic experiences when they came to these sites in places like Mexico and so forth, where they had been before and where they had been the carriers of this information. Now, the only relevance that has to this is that it suggests the presence of entities who considered it their duty to convey this information periodically back into the planet and could possibly have done something like this to help preserve that information. And Dick Sutton is now engaged in writing all these books, so he's fulfilling that task that they have set every 7